All right, take your Bibles, if you would, turn to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Continuing the study on home builders tonight, and just looking at some examples in the Bible about what God's trying to teach us as far as authority in the home and submission in the home and the order that God has. And some of the reasons why God has these things put in place for us. All right, so 1 Timothy chapter number 2. I know it's been a few weeks since we've been on it, but 1 Timothy chapter 2. And let's look at a couple verses here. Let's look at verse number 11. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 11. Let me get over there myself. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 11. Continue also, I didn't mention, just continue to pray for our country. And our president, still president now, just pray for him, pray for all those. The Lord, the Bible tells us to pray for him, so let's continue to pray. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 11. The Bible said, "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence." And then he doesn't stop there. He tells us why it ought to be this way in verse number 13. "For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." And so we're not going to go back over there tonight. We've been preaching a lot on Genesis chapter 3 and chapter 2 there with what took place, but because of the sin that took place there and because Eve was deceived, part of the judgment that God passed on her, which was passed upon all women from that point on, was the sorrow in childbirth, and then she would be under submission to her husband, and the Bible said that he would rule over her. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason that God put that order in the home. And here we find that the women here are instructed not to teach and to learn in silence with all subjection. And women are more emotional than men. They're supposed to be that way. And I realize in the society that we're in today, things are backwards. And you have men that are more emotional and women that are stronger minded, stronger willed, and are less emotional. But that's not how God designed it, and it's backwards. And we've got the whole thing all messed up and backwards. But women are more emotional. It's how the Lord made them that way, and they're more subject to deception, and they're more, the more emotional that a woman is, and the times of her life when she is the most emotional is when she's the most at risk of being deceived, the most at risk at having emotional stress and having anxiety or whatever come into her life is. There's times of her life where she's more gullible than that, and I believe the Bible points out one of those things right here. And so here in verse number 15, it says, "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing." And you said, why is it specifically talking about childbearing, and what is the saving that it's talking about? It's saving from her being deceived. And one of the most, I guess, stressful times for a wife or a mother is when she's with child. I mean, the emotions are all over the place. It would be nice if the children could figure out exactly what mood mama's in to let daddy know before he got home. And Brother Jimmy's back here shaking his head because his wife just walked out, who's with child. And so that is one of the greatest times in a lady's life, a mother's life, where she is open to deception because her emotions are all over the place. And the devil can get to her mind. He can mess with her, especially when her body's going through all kind of changes from having a child. And he can mess with her insecurities. He can mess with all kind of things. And so it's a very dangerous time when it comes to that. And that's why it specifically mentions that here. And then back in Genesis, it talks about her in sorrow with the childbearing, all those things because of this deception. And so it's a very important time in her life where a husband needs to make sure that he's being the husband he needs to be. He needs to be that all the time, but especially during this time. and this time of childbearing, or when she's having a child. Look there in verse number 13 again. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Adam knew exactly what he was doing when he partook of that fruit. Matter of fact, God gave the instruction directly to Adam about not eating the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, not partaking of that tree. That instruction was given directly to Adam, and Adam evidently passed it on to his wife, and he was supposed to, well, I know he did because she mentioned it. She mentioned that they were not supposed to eat of it, and she even went as far as saying we're not supposed to touch it. But Adam knew exactly what he's doing. And Satan didn't go after Adam. He went after Eve. He went after the weaker vessel there. And some people say, well, Adam was there with her because the Bible said that she gave it to her husband who was there with her. And he should have stopped it and all those kind of things. And it happened. Regardless of what happened, it happened. And so, but Satan didn't go after him. He went after her. And he deceived her. And he convinced her to take a bite of this thing. And so Adam knew exactly what he was doing. Eve was deceived. Adam knew what he was doing. And it says that right here. Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. Satan didn't fool him for a second. And so the Bible here tells us because of these things that a woman should not teach or usurp authority over a man. Because she was deceived. Because she is open to deception. Because of her emotional makeup and the way that God designed that thing, she's open to deception. And there's a lot of women today that believe they're preachers or they're prophetesses or whatever the case might be. And they got all this crazy doctrine they teach. And I know there's men that do the same thing. But it's all messed up. You know, there's women like Joyce Myers and Paula White and all these that have great followings of people that go behind them. But they're greatly, greatly deceived. And so a woman should not teach men because of that spiritual deception. This is what the Bible's teaching us here. And then it says if she's going to be saved, and that word if, it says if they. Look at it with me again. Notwithstanding, verse number 15, she shall be saved in childbearing if she. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say if she or if him. It says if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. That means both the husband and wife, them together. And again, the illustration here is being saved in childbearing. That's the most stressful time. That's the most emotional time. And that's the time that the devil really can try to work on her mind and will really work on a marriage and a home. And right after she has a child is a very stressful time. I mean, her body's going through so many changes and so many emotions. And, you know, a lot of times neither one of them are getting any sleep. And there's just all kind of emotions going on. And that's why it's more important than ever to stay faithful in the Word of God and to continue in faith was the first thing there. And so the faith, you said, what's that? I mean, that's your walk with God. That's your trust in God. That's your daily Bible reading. That's your praying together, spending time in fellowship with the Lord together as a couple. It's very important that you do that. Now, it's important you do that all the time, but especially during that time when you have young children or you just had a child or you're with child and those things. We see that here in this verse. And so that's a very emotional time. And throughout the entire pregnancy and even after her pregnancy, the system's out of whack. It's all messed up. And everybody that has had children, you can say amen there because either the wife understands what I'm talking about or the husband knows exactly what I'm talking about because he lived with it. Amen. Either way. And that continues all the way through the pregnancy. In the delivery room, I mean, how many men have been screamed at in the delivery room? Amen. Don't raise your hand in here. I don't know how many have, but, you know, hold my hand, let go of my hand. It is a roller coaster of emotions. Our first child, they were trying to wake me up because I think, did I pass out? Or yeah, I passed out the first time, so I was the weak one, and I fell out, but there's just a lot of emotion going on. Amen. And so it's a time for the devil to really attack. And then after that child She's still got all these changes with her body, and she's worried about the way she looks. And husband, you have to be careful with the way that you talk to her during this time. I know tonight we're supposed to be talking about the wives, but husbands, you've got to be very careful during this time. You've got to weigh every word. And we should really do that all the time, right? And I realize most everybody in here is grown, and maybe you're not planning on having any more kids, but there's some young couples that might be listening and need this, and I still need this, that we need to weigh our words, especially during that time. I mean, maybe go overboard or go out of your way to compliment, because the devil is working on her mind. Amen. And her body's going through all these changes, and she might not think she looks like she needs to, and all these things, and she needs your attention. She needs to know that you love her, because the devil is going to be working on her emotions. But if the husband and wife together will continue in faith and charity, that's love in action, and we can study all these things out. Holiness, living a holy life with sobriety, that seriousness, and just being real serious throughout this thing and honoring God, then you can make it, and you can protect yourself, both of you, from the attack of the devil. The most important time in a family's life for the husband to serve God and to be faithful to Him is by being the spiritual head of the home, is when that lady is expecting a child. And we see all that right here. That's what's being taught here. Now, the teaching of the husband protecting his wife goes beyond that, but this is a great time for the devil to really cause problems and to really really get into marriage. And I've seen young couples who are fighting and arguing, and they're on the brink of divorce, and they think that having a child is going to fix whatever problem they have. And I don't know if I've ever seen that work. And I know Brother Hodge pastored for several years, and he's been in the ministry a long time, but I don't know if I've ever seen somebody who's having real marital problems, instead of going to God or getting back in church and doing right, instead of doing that, they decide they're going to have a child together. I haven't seen that work. And especially if they're not doing right and living right and reading their Bible like they're supposed to, that's going to be some rough time in their marriage. Amen. And they think that's going to fix some things, but it's not. It just opens her up to demonic deception, and the husband has to be very, very careful in how he runs his home and how he supports her during that time. And so at that point and throughout your entire marriage, that husband is to be a protection for his wife. All right, and I've got an illustration here that I want to use. All right, so I'm going to bring my wife up here, and I know she doesn't like this, but she can come anyway. All right. Emma, you come too. You want to help? I want you to help. Come here. All right. So, this right here is a cheap husband. Got them at the Dollar General or Dollar Store for like a dollar. All right. And so I want you to hold that right there. All right. So, Emma, you come here for a second. All right. So the illustration here is the husband is to be the head of his wife. He's supposed to be there. And the Bible talks about over there in Corinthians about the woman having power on her head because of the angels, and that power that it's talking about, that protection that God's talking about, that covering that the Bible's talking about is her husband. That's what God put there. Okay? And so if it's storming, it's lightning, it's raining, and that's a picture of Satan and the attacks of the devil. The Bible talks about that in 2 Peter that the devil is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the fiery darts of the devil, that he's constantly throwing fiery darts, right? And so lightning bolts are coming down, it's raining. Devil's trying to attack her. And as long as she has this protection on her head, then she does not get affected. Okay? She doesn't get affected by what's going on, by the constant attacks. Who is taking the brunt of that force in this illustration? It's the husband. And it's the husband because he's supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home. He's supposed to not be an emotional wreck every time a phone, every time a bill collector calls, or every time something happens. He's to man up and take care of it. Amen. It doesn't need to be her, and he needs to take that because God made him to be able to handle that. Now we could take the same illustration and say that Jesus Christ is our protection as a husband, and we can give that same illustration. But for the sake of tonight, we're talking about the devil's attacks and the husband being that covering. Now, if that wife only submits to her husband 80% of the time, and she only obeys in certain things, then she has holes in her protection. Okay? She still has some of it covered, but there's holes in that protection. And so if she decides to not have the wrong attitude, and she don't care for it, and during times of her life where the devil can get to her mind, and she thinks that there's something going on, or the devil's messing with her about her body or whatever, and the husband's not supporting her maybe, then that's going to open up holes in this thing, and she still has the protection, but the devil can get some fiery darts in there. It can cause problems. And then if she is just in rebellion completely, and I'm not going to submit to my husband, I'm not going to obey him, and that thing comes down, then she's wide open for attack. Okay? And then ladies, you want to say, well, that's just between me and him. Put it back up. It's not just about her. It's not just about her. And husband, we're supposed to be the strength that we're supposed to be. I mean, but the only way we do this is by staying in our Bible, that we stay in subjection to Christ. I mean, we could be the reason there's holes in this thing. We could be the reason why the devil can get to her, because we're not praying like we're supposed to. We're not reading like we're supposed to. But she puts herself under the protection of that, and God puts that husband to protect her, and then in return. So if she decides she doesn't want to do right, or decides she doesn't want to submit, and she gets out from underneath of that, or there's holes in it, or she moves it down to the side, now she's opening not only herself but her family up to attack. And there's a lot of children that are being raised in home, and they resent their father, they resent their dad, or they have no respect for him because she has no respect for him. And it's opening up to attacks. And so we have to be very, very careful. The fiery darts of the wicked, Ephesians 6 talks about. And 1 Peter 5:8 talks about him being as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And if she's not completely in subjection, she's opening up to attacks. Or if she's not in subjection, she's opening herself up to attacks. And so that's just a visual illustration there. And now this guy right here is a real cheap husband, and if it rained real hard on that, I bet you'd probably leak through somehow, but don't be a leaky husband. All right. Do you see the picture, though? You see the picture about that protection? We can do the same thing with a man about Jesus Christ being the protection. Amen. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ is our protection. If we just give it to him and get under him. All right? And so that's the illustration tonight. And so if a Christian woman does not place herself under that, she's opened herself and her children under attack. All right? And again, we've talked about this before, and I've had wives tell me this. And actually, I had one. I preached a family revival last week, and a lady came up to me and she said, I cannot and will not submit to my husband. She told me that. And I said, praise the Lord. I mean, I just got done preaching it. I don't know what else you want me to tell you. And she said, I won't do it. He's mean as a snake. And then the pastor said, well, her husband's been dead for like 5 years. So I don't know if the one she's with now is not her husband, or if that's one of them situations, or what it is. You know, the story in the Bible where the lady came and said, I have no husband. He's like, that's right, you got five, you know. I don't know what was going on. I don't know her. But she said that. But Colossians tells us, go over to Colossians 3:18, and we can also see it in Ephesians chapter 5. All right, the Bible tells us here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. All right, so you're supposed to submit to your own as it is fit in the Lord. Okay? And so, it is fitting and proper for a wife to submit herself to her husband. That's what God wants. That's what God has asked her to do. Okay? And remember, God will deal with him. He will. And I've seen God do it. All right? And so, to your own husbands, and I've heard several illustrations given about a pastor. I heard a pastor say just this past week that a wife should never ever listen to a pastor. A pastor shouldn't tell a home how they ought to operate. She should ask her husband, and that's the Bible says she should learn from her husband. Most husbands don't know the Bible enough to teach their wife at home, amen. And so, but at the end of the day, you are to submit to your husband. And I've heard wives go to their husbands before and make comments like, well, the preacher said this. Amen. Now, remember, you're before God, and God hears everything you're saying, and he knows your heart. And so you need to be real careful with that. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. And you got to be real careful with your children also. If you're constantly telling them, well, Brother Andrew said this, or Brother Andrew said that, or Brother, you know what they're going to do? They're going to end up resenting Brother Andrew. They're going to end up resenting the preacher. Why? Because every time I'm at home and I get in trouble, the preacher's brought up. Amen? It ought to be discipline in the home, and it ought to be instruction in the home, because this is what the Bible tells us to do. And we're all going to fall into submission to it. Amen? All right, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 22. Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, they're the own husbands again, as unto the Lord. And so you need to submit to your husband as unto the Lord, just like you would the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, and then in the verse number 24, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands, again, mentioning that in everything. In everything. And I know that's hard to swallow sometimes when you don't feel like you can, or you don't feel like he's in the place he ought to be. But the Bible also tells us over there, I believe in 1st or 2nd Peter, that husband, if he's backslidden or lost, that he could get right with God just because you're doing right and living right. By your conversation, by your testimony, it could be convicting to her. All right? And so it's very important that we keep ourselves in submission and the order that God has for our home, and it's for your protection. All right? And so, Lord willing, next week we'll pick up and kind of move on in this study here. But it's for your protection. All right, let's all stand. Let's pray. And I'm going to end just a few minutes early tonight because we do have church cleaning. And it's burning up in here. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for being so good to us, Lord. We thank you for your mercy, your grace. We thank you, Lord, for each one that's here tonight, Father, Lord. We thank you for this dear lady that came to visit tonight with Brother Tim. We pray, God, that you bless her in a special way, Father, and thank you for letting them get a hold of their son. God, you know all about that, and I pray, God, that you'd answer their prayers according to your will. With all the prayer requests tonight, I pray you'd bless our missionaries. Thank you for them, and thank you for the souls that we heard about that got saved. Pray for our church, God, all the ministries that we have. And Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to serve you. I pray you bless the time tonight of cleaning. And Lord, thank you for each one of the folks that will stay and help us with that. And God, be with those that can't and all the ones that aren't here tonight because of sickness or whatever the case might be. Father, we just thank you for being so good to us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.